Sunday, February 13th, we went to National City Christian Church, Homer and Lyndon and I. We alternate as to which church we go, and it is much to my liking that we go at all. I find Dr. Davis's sermons realistic and impassioned, but I like him better and better as a preacher and as a man. And I must say Lyndon is more at home here than he is at St. Mark's, which I find more philosophical, exciting. I am not sure I'm always in tune with it, but there is a spiritual striving, an atmosphere of community between Bill Baxter and the folks who go. Because Lyndon's hands were still sore from the growths burnt off of them, we did not stay for coffee. These growths are becoming an increasing nuisance, painful, ugly, preventing us from long sessions of handshaking, which Lyndon finds a really sort of a lifeline between him and the people he serves. Back at the White House, I went up to Lucy's domain. Everybody was gathered in the solarium, reminiscing about the night before. Wasn't it fun when? Didn't you just love? This is always one of the nicest parts about a party. I was so glad that all the guests from far off did get to come, and so sorry about some that didn't. Then, a little before 2, Mr. and Mrs. Nugent and Homer and Lyndon and I had lunch. Lucy was taking some of her guests to the airport. Lyndon's presence and manner is the greatest help. He can do so much to bridge the gaps, to be an amalgam, to make things go. What natural unease I had in expecting the Nugent's visit was dissipating in the warm and natural atmosphere, for which I must give Lyndon so much credit. And then he took a nap, and I went to join Mrs. Provenson in the Queen's room to work for almost 2 hours on the American Road Builder speech. There's a great satisfaction in work. It makes me feel better physically and mentally, and I do think the speech is going to be the better for it. Dorothy Nichols came to make a little call on Lyndon. I stopped by for a minute with them. She loves living in New York, but she says she's only now getting away from a guilt complex at not being back at work. Jim Kane came in about 7. How sorry we were that he hadn't been at the party the night before. We had dinner together, Lyndon and the Nugents, and this time Pat and Lucy and the Rays and Jim. Lyndon talked about his trip to Hawaii. He'd been greatly impressed with Westmoreland, rather impressed with Key. He talked about some of the pluses, some of the outsides of the story that happened in Vietnam that somehow never see the light of print. For instance, now our medical service, plus the great boon of helicopters, makes it possible to get to a wounded man within an hour and to get him to a hospital in not longer than 3 hours. And we save all but 1% of the wounded. This is a far better percentage than in other wars. He talked about the CETO Treaty, which had been passed by the Senate 82-1. Langer was the one against it. Incidentally, Johnson and Kennedy did not vote. Now, he said, we are trying to carry out the contract they made. We were discussing the debate in the country on the Vietnam policy, as opened up by the debate in the Senate. At lunch, Lafayette Park had been full of picketers. I didn't look to see whether they were still there at dinner. It's such a common thing now. 166 times last year the White House was picketed. Lyndon said, this thing is assuming rather dangerous proportions. That is, in dividing the country and in giving our enemies a wrong idea of the will of this country to fight. General Maxwell Taylor had been tremendous, magnificent on TV. We called him to tell him so. He said, I was just warming up for the Senate committee. One looks at the polls in retrospect. Those 37 days, was it, when we were hopefully setting the stage for some sort of peace rapprochement, for getting together at the conference table, running all over the world asking everybody to join in peace efforts. Was it a good idea or not? As of today, one doubts it. I still believe it was a sort of a national proof of going the last mile, being willing to make all effort. It had certainly been a Fulbright idea and a Morse idea, though little credit we got from them for pursuing it. TV and the voluminous Sunday papers, about 6 of them, are a big part of our Sundays. One of the things that had delighted me was an article on America's prize-winning highway, a scenic highway in the mountains, the Sierra Nevadas in California. Either there is a rising tide through the country, or am I just listening more? Because of my own interest. Another big story on cleaning up the Potomac.